laugh it off with a joke about cows and insurance that would be appropriate for the town's residents' unique sense of humor when it came to their livelihood, but I didn't even get the chance to put on the proverbial life's great mask because, like the cows, a blur of color was all I saw as it rushed past me. I was only able to make out a horse with a light coat and dark legs, and a rider wearing dark clothing and a black cowboy hat. There was no apology, no checking to see if I was okay. No nothing. Asshole, I muttered under my breath, though I wasn't sure why I was even doing it quietly since the jerk was gone. I got back in the car and searched out the number on my rental contract so I could notify the agency about the damage right away. I did that. I played by the rules. I tried not to dwell on the fact that I was breaking a couple of pretty big rules by even being out here in Eden. Not only would my father blow a gasket if he found out I was in Eden instead of working diligently on our investment firm's next deal, but I'd promised myself a long time ago that I'd put Eden out of my mind for good. Eden just made me feel too many things. I pushed back the massive bout of insecurity that went through me as I considered what my father would think if he knew what I was up to. I was counting on my mother and my assistant, Julian, or Jules, as he liked to be called, to keep my father's attention on other things. Yes, it was pretty sad that a 25-year-old man was afraid of making his daddy mad, but things didn't just change overnight. Or in 25 years, apparently. I huffed out loud at the thought and shook my head. Doesn't matter, I said to myself. I'm fine. I nodded as if that would make it all true. Fine, I added quietly. I used the hands-free feature on my phone to talk to the rental agency as I drove the last little bit to the quarter horse ranch my maternal grandfather had founded but was now being run by my uncle, Curtis Sterling. As I made my way higher into the hills, the heat gave way to cooler air, and the brown vegetation and brush turned to lush grass and full trees. When I drove beneath the arch that proclaimed I had just crossed onto Black Hills ranch land, I felt that same sense of excitement start to build deep inside me as I maneuvered the last few curvy miles that led up to the main house. Along with the excitement came the inevitable sense of betrayal I'd always felt the few times I'd returned to Eden. I reminded myself I was pushing those particular thoughts aside, and instead focused on the outcropping of buildings that came into sight as I neared the ranch. The main house, the bunkhouse for the ranch hands, and all the barns still had that old feel look to them. But there were plenty of hints of modern-day technology, including things like satellite dishes, generators, and air conditioning units. As I pulled to a stop in front of the house, many of the men working in the various pens glanced my way, but none came over to greet me. It made me wonder if they somehow instinctively knew who I was, and they hadn't forgotten that in addition to being Brooks Sterling's grandson, I was also James Cunningham's son. The latter label was the one that had always been the heaviest to carry, especially since Grandpa Brooks and my father had never gotten along. I steeled myself to accept the forthcoming rejection and held myself tall as I got out of the vehicle. I reminded myself that even though I might be a cowardly little shit on the inside, I didn't look anything like that on the outside. At least not anymore. Years at the gym, eating right, and daily runs had worked their magic on my once scrawny body. And living in New York meant I knew how to fight for a cab or work through a crowded subway station to make it onto a jam-packed car for the early morning commute to work. I wasn't ready to go one-on-one with a gun-toting mugger in a darkened alley or anything, but I knew how to take care of myself. Fortunately, I didn't need to worry about the reception from any of the ranch hands because my uncle chose that moment to step out of the house. He squinted at me repeatedly and then began searching his pockets, presumably for the glasses he'd started wearing the last time I'd seen him.
"Can I help you?"
he said as he patted down his body and then let out a little laugh when he seemed to realize where the missing glasses were. The hearty chuckle he let out, the one I'd missed more than I wanted to admit as he pulled the glasses off the top of his head, made my heart twist painfully in my chest. I actually